I am so glad to be with you this morning and continuing our series called Called to Serve. And we're part number four today. Our message is entitled Serving Where You Are. And I believe that as we go through the scriptures together this morning, I hope, my hope is that you'll be encouraged, that you will be lifted up, that you will find that God has a place for each and every one of us to serve where we are, where we find ourselves in life. And so we'll be talking a lot about examples from church and serving at church and different things like that. But I want you to know this morning, as I'm talking and as we're sharing the Word of God, that God's Word is applicable to us throughout all the arenas of our life. And so many times we get in this spot to where we feel like we have a spiritual life over here, or we have a work life over there, and our family's over here, and so we have all these segmented parts. But I want to tell us today, and I want to remind us today, that we are not segmented people, right? I'm Gabe Mowdy, whether I'm in this building or whether I'm out on the street or whether I'm at the grocery store or whether I'm pumping my gas or whether I'm at the ball game on Friday night. I'm me who I am wherever I go. And you are you wherever you go, and you're a person called by God to serve wherever you find yourself. And so as we talk about church, because that's where we are today, right? That's what we're doing today. We're going to share some examples from the Bible about that and talk a little bit about that. But I want you to take this message beyond that and recognize that God has called you to serve wherever you are, in your workplace, in your family, in your school. And a lot of these principles are applicable in those places as well as right here in church. And so here's our big idea today. We are empowered to serve no matter our position. And we're going to explore that a little bit, how the Holy Spirit has come alongside us, inside of us. God has given us the Holy Spirit as our helper, and He empowers us to actually serve wherever we find ourselves, no matter whether our position is at the top of the food chain, so to speak, or at the bottom of the food chain. That stuff doesn't matter in the kingdom of God. You know, because it seems like in our culture, right, all the attention goes to important people or famous people. It's all about television and who's on the big screen. You know, the stars with their names on the silver screen, they seem to have all the influence in our culture, right? The big shot in the corner office who makes all the money has all the attentions on that position. Or maybe the pastor on TV, he gets to preach to thousands of people and really see God do amazing things. The politician, he's out of touch with reality, but he gets to make all the rules for us to go by, right? The one at work who gets all the credit. You see, the miracles or the blessings or significance in this life, sometimes it seems like it happens to all of those people, the ones who have power, who have fame, who have prestige, who have fortune, right? And sometimes it even seems like God uses the famous people or big name people, right? In the Bible, we look at all the different stories, and they're the ones that get to do all of the cool stuff that God wants done in His kingdom, right? To work all the miracles or to be the one who influences tons of people. We love the stories about all these famous people in the Bible. And we wonder, you know, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, could I be famous? Could I be important? Could I be called by God to do something that makes a difference? Or maybe we just believe if we had a position of authority, right? If God would just give me some authority, you know, I could be used to make a difference in my world. And so many of us have bought into this lie that a normal, everyday Joe like me doesn't have that much ability to make a difference, to have influence, to change the world, so to speak. You know, when we're young and we're inspired and we're growing up and we're, honestly, we're kind of just don't know how the world works, right? We have these dreams and aspirations that we're going to change the world, that we're going to do something significant with our lives. And then we end up going to school and getting a job and realizing all the stuff that we thought was so great, you know, owning a house and getting married and all that stuff, it costs a lot of money. And so we get stuck in a job working to pay the bills, and we kind of get in this cyclical pattern in our lives and realize that normal everyday life isn't as exciting or world-changing as maybe we thought it might have been. And so we settle for a nondescript life, a life that chooses to not get involved with things because we're too busy with all the things that we're already involved in, right? And our kids are in activities, and we're going to ball games, and we got this, and we've got that. And so we just show up to church every week, and we watch everybody else doing their thing, living their life, doing what God's called them to do. And we buy this lie that maybe we can't make a difference anymore. We're just kind of stuck where we're at. And so I want to encourage us today. I want to encourage us to move beyond that, to believe for more than that. Because I believe that according to the scriptures, as I look through this Bible right here, it's full of stories that I believe God has designed every single one of us, every single one of you, myself included. All of us have an opportunity to live a life of significance in the kingdom of God, that he calls us to live lives that make a difference. You see, we are empowered to serve no matter our position, no matter where we find ourselves in this life. And so we've got to reject this deception of the world system, right? We've been deceived because it claims that only famous people get to do the cool stuff. Only the powerful people get to have influence and get to be a part of something incredible. Let me tell you today, church, let me remind you, if you haven't noticed, we already are a part of something incredible. Guys, we are a part of an incredible church. We're in part more than that. We're a part of an incredible kingdom that God is establishing right here on planet Earth. And he has asked every single one of us to be a part of what he's up to in the world, to be a part of what he's doing. We all have an important role to play as God ministers to the people of this planet. You see, the Bible is full of examples over and over and over again of how God chooses to empower people who, by all the world standards, right, by the way that we would judge things, don't seem to be like the people that he would choose or that would be the best choice, right? You look at the disciples and you think about what all they did for a living, and they were just real simple guys, and some of them were uneducated, and yet God used those guys to do incredible things. You look just all through the Bible, there's tons of stories of how God picked the people that we wouldn't have picked, right, to do incredible things. So let's look at this scripture. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're going to start out today. We're going to work our way through a couple of scriptures. We'll end up in Acts chapter 6 here in just a little bit. There's a really cool story that I want to share with you guys. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians. But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Now, how strange a body would be if it had only one part, right? I mean, you can imagine that. If it's only a big finger, you know, walking around, it would be really weird. It would look strange. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And you realize, guys, he's making an analogy here, right? Using our physical bodies, carrying this over into the body of Christ, the church today, that we all have different parts to play. He says this, in fact, some parts of the body that seemed weakest and the least important are actually the most necessary. I was reading a deal one time, and I have no idea if this is true or not, but this thing said that if you lose your pinky toe, right? It's about that big, right? Some people's are that big, but mine's that big. If you lose your pinky toe, that you're hardly able to stand up anymore. And I still have my pinky toes, so I don't know if it's true or not. I haven't tried it out, and I haven't talked to anybody that has. But that little toe helps create balance in our whole body, something that would seem insignificant, like you could just, you know, cut it off and do without it, right? But it actually serves a real point. I had my gallbladder out earlier this year, and it seems to me that if I don't need a gallbladder, why was it there in the first place? Right, if I can live without it. It's actually helped me eat a lot better because eating fried food now doesn't work as good as it used to, you know, having a gallbladder. But you see, all of the parts of our body, whether, I didn't even know I had a gallbladder hardly before that, you know, before it started hurting and giving me trouble, right? And then I was really aware that I had a gallbladder and that it had a problem. We all have a part to play. But in our culture, it's easy to get wrapped up in just pursuing fame or popularity, or we think that we've got to make a name for ourselves. We want to be noticed, right, for the things that we do, for our work. We want our work to be valuable and to make a difference and to be significant in this life. We want to be published or recognized or have our name up on the screen. But according to what we just read in the scripture, whether we're in the limelight or whether we're in the very back, darkest part, every single one of us has an important role to play in God's design. Because you see, we are empowered to serve no matter our position. Scripture goes on to teach us this, that God has specifically assigned different abilities to each of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 and then 11 says this, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Now, did you catch that? It didn't say that a spiritual gift is given to some of us. It didn't say that a spiritual gift is given to the really cool people. It didn't say that a spiritual gift is given to the only the pastors, right? It says a spiritual gift is given to each and every one of us so that we can help each other. And it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all of these gifts that he gives out. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Now, that kind of irritated me for a long time because I thought I knew the gifts that I wanted to have, right? I told God, I want to be able to do this. Here's the one I really wanted. So we lived overseas for a long time, and I had read in Acts, and this was before I was really baptized in the Holy Spirit and understood what speaking in tongues was all about. But I lived in a foreign country who spoke a foreign tongue, right? And I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed that I could have the gift of speaking a foreign language without having to do the hard work of studying it. And that's the gift I wanted. I wanted to just be able to know it all of a sudden and not have to do all the hard work with the language learner that I spent hours and hours and hours learning another language. It was a lot of work. I just wanted to get the gift, right? Snapped in there. But here's what he says. God gives each of us the gifts that he decides that we should have. The gifts that he knows we would be best at operating in. The gifts that that he knows he has created us to do. And sometimes, church, those gifts are surprising to us. Sometimes we can do things that we never imagined that we would do. You see, I never imagined I would be up here standing in front of you speaking like this and bringing the Word of God this way. It wasn't something I anticipated in my life or that I sought out. I slept through most of the sermons in my life, you know, in the early years. I didn't really appreciate this part of church growing up, you know? And then how ironic that I get to be up here doing it today. But when we agree with God to operate in the gifts and the circumstances that God has assigned to us, we see that his ministry to people happens, and it happens really, really well. Let's look at this story from the early church, and I think this story will help us understand this a little bit. It'll encourage us how serving with the skills that God has given us, it builds a growing, a powerful movement of God's people. It really is a great story. And so turn over in your Bibles if you've got your Bible, if you've got your app. I don't care if it's an electronic Bible or a paper Bible. They both work good. The thing about the electronic Bible is you can make the font a lot bigger, and this one's a little bit small. Oh, I could just read it on the screen. That's big letters over there. How about that? If I get lost here, I'll do that. Acts chapter 6, starting in verse 1. As the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. And so the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. And they said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the Word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected, who are full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, and we will give them this responsibility, and then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the Word. And everybody liked this idea, and so they chose the following men: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip; Prochorus; Nicanor; Timon; Parmenas; and Nicholas of Antioch. And these 7 were presented to the apostles, and who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. And so God's message continued to spread, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted also. And Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. It's a pretty cool story with a lot of implications for us this morning. So I want to go through each of these verses and kind of lead you through a progression of what happened as these guys looked at their situation and decided to be a part of what God was doing. Verse 1, we see this: there was rapid growth in the time of the church that way. It was when the news was spreading and things were happening, and people were coming to Christ just left and right and all of the time. And it's kind of like here at Harvest today. Our church is growing. Whether you're aware of that or not, there's new folks that come in here all of the time. And so this rapid growth then, back then, and even we've seen it today in our times, always creates a different set of circumstances, right? There's always new needs that people have, and there's always things going on that facilitate growth. And so the disciples back then, they identified a need. They said, okay, some of the widows are getting food and some of them are not, and it's probably because our church has grown to the point we just can't handle all the food distribution very well. We're just not very organized, and we can't quite keep up with all of this work that's happening. And I think it's interesting here, apparently the apostles were the guys that were in charge of the food distribution up to this point, right? And apparently they weren't doing a very good job of it, you know? We like to think that the apostles, like the holy ones of God, were like these superstar men, you know, that had it all together, that could do anything and everything. But apparently they couldn't do it all, you know? It's kind of like our pastors here at Harvest. We can't do it all, you know? We need lots of people to make the church happen, the ministry happen here. And so the guys said, okay, we admit we're not doing a very good job of this. We need some help. And so you guys pick some people that could take on the leading of this ministry and take it to the next level. And so check this out. What happens when the early church decided to encourage people to serve in the area of their gifting? Because the apostles were smart enough to go, okay, guys, we know that we're called to the ministry of the word and to prayer, right? And this is where we need to minister, where we need to work. And so let's get some people who are actually good at serving food to take that on. So verses 2 through 5 says this: they picked a team, right? You guys are familiar with how we work here at Harvest. We have Team Harvest. There's teams all over our church that are doing the incredible work of ministry. It's great. It's a great way to do ministry together. And so they picked a team of spirit-filled, wise people. And these people were chosen to lead different parts of this ministry. And I love that, because even here today at Harvest, our teams are full of spirit-led people, wise people who are leading all kinds of teams: the greeter team, the coffee team, hospitality, our prayer teams. We have teams all over the place, whether you see them or not. A lot of them are wearing a little lanyard that says, "How can I help?" Right? You've seen them around the building as you work. And a lot of you are on one of those teams. But as these people were picked and said these guys would be good at leading this ministry, then the apostles prayed over that team, right? They laid their hands on them, and these people were given this assignment, and they were actually commissioned to do spiritual work, even when that work was in the kitchen. Isn't that interesting how they laid their hands on them and said, guys, we're anointing you, basically. We're commissioning you to do spiritual work. But the spiritual work was ladling soup into the bowl as people came by. I just think it's an interesting part of this, that every job that we do in church, every service that we provide, every opportunity that we have to reach out to people in our community, at work, at school, in our homes, all of it is holy, anointed work. It's all spiritual work. And so they prayed over these guys, and then it's implied after that that they organized the ministry and got busy with carrying out their assignment. And so they went on to do all of the things that they were called to do, and then we move to verses 7 and 8, and we have a result, right? What happened when people started serving in the way that they were called to serve? It says this: there was an increase in believers, the church grew, and signs and wonders started happening. The church grew, people experienced the power of God at work among them when they started getting their ministry organized, when they started serving soup, so to speak. Isn't that fascinating? Because a lot of times we tie the signs and wonders to the stuff that happens up here, the messages that go out, the worship that happens on a platform up here, the prayer that happens right down here afterwards. And we spiritualize things. But it says very clearly in this story that signs and wonders started happening and the church grew. It exploded after people started serving in the area that they were called to, that they were equipped by God to serve in. And I think that's fascinating because here's the deal. You plus other people like you, together with the Holy Spirit, creates incredible, amazing kingdom results. Guys, as you serve in the area that God's called you to serve, and the Holy Spirit empowers you to do that, and you do it together with other people who are called and equipped and empowered to do that, guys, it gets incredible up in here. Oh, I mean, that's what makes church great. That's what makes it fantastic. That's what makes it possible for us to reach out into our community and be an attractive group of people who say, man, what is going on over there? I want to be a part of that. Because every single one of us, no matter our skill level, no matter what our training is, no matter what work of service we do, guys, God works through us to bring signs and wonders and growth, and lives are changed and people's chains are broken. There's a chain left over up here from Freedom in Christ. I saw it as we were getting out. You know, it's a testimony. We just had an incredible conference where people's chains were broken off of them and people were set free. It took a whole bunch of people to make that conference happen. We had table leaders, we had hospitality people, we had people that spoke and people that prayed and people that led worship and people that were at the front door and people that kept kids. All kinds of people doing what they were called to do, and all of it led to people getting set free and experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit in their life. I love this story because I look at Stephen, right? And I notice he's not one of the apostles who was called to pray. He wasn't called to minister to the word there, and that's who we think typically is our God's superheroes. But Stephen wasn't one of those. He was the team leader for the hospitality team. And it says he was full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of God's grace and power, and signs and wonders started happening because he was really good at his job of leading the hospitality team. We have some incredible hospitality team leaders here at Harvest, and I think the same thing is happening as they serve in their areas. But I just think it's really cool to think about how when we serve where we're called, God empowers us. He empowers us to do kingdom work. He empowers us to change lives. He empowers us to make a difference, no matter what our position is on the team. And so there's these three practices, and this is not a complete list, but these are three things that I've found in my life through the years, and they've helped me learn how to contribute on the team. As I have been asked to do different things here at Harvest, other places I've been, in my job, in the business world, other places, these are things that I have found that have helped me make a difference. And I want to share those with you today. Hopefully they'll be encouraging where you are. Number one is this: honor the leader. Because every team has a leader, right? God's appointed some people. In our story in Acts, the apostles were the ones that were appointed to be the leaders, to be in charge, to lead that ministry. And Stephen could have come alongside with all of his buddies, right? All of these guys that I can't pronounce their names. Could have argued with that and say, who are you guys to like tell us what to do? Or to be in charge and organize what's going on here? We're believers. We believe in the priesthood of all believers. We have equal authority. And that's true. That's true. But it wasn't the case in the story. They understood that there were some that were set in positions of leadership. And they chose to follow that leadership. And you know what? That happens here today at Harvest, too. We have an incredible church culture here of following our pastors, our elders, those who are leading teams here. And I believe that the choice, my choice personally, your choice to follow the leader, to listen to the person that's going in front, to listen to the person that's been given that gift, that position by God, brings blessing upon blessing upon blessing to your life and to this church. And I've learned this, that honoring the man or the woman that you follow, whether it's here, out in your workplace, in your school, it opens the door for your influence to be multiplied to all of the people that that leader influences. Isn't that incredible? That you doing your small part of serving wherever you're called to serve, you have influence over that leader. And as they see that, then that influence is picked up by them and it's spread out to the whole team or to the whole organization or to everybody that they have influence. So whether at church, in your family, at your job, every leader needs your support. Every leader needs you to do your part. Number two is this, embrace where God has placed you. You might be so frustrated by where you find yourself today, that where God has you, that you're missing opportunities that you really wanted, and you might be missing the opportunities that God's putting right in front of you to serve where you are. I found myself in that place several years ago, and I was working in a job, and it wasn't what I believed to be my calling. I had this idea that I should have a calling in life and that I should be doing something really valuable with my life, and I just didn't feel like this job was what I was supposed to be doing. And so I was griping to God about that. You guys ever do that? Anybody ever complain to God? I was moaning, I was whining about it, saying, I don't think I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. That's probably how God heard it. You know, I was a little more declarative about it. You know, I thought I had a right to do something that I wanted to do, and I wasn't there. And so I went on this little retreat over by Kittaquay. There's a guy that had a bed and barn there. It wasn't a bed and breakfast. It was a bed and barn. It was a barn with a bed in it, right, and horses in the back, and you could ride the trails over at Caprock Canyons. Anyway, I stayed in this little place, and I was praying through this and just really struggling with where I was in life and just dissatisfied. God, this is not what I planned. This is not what I wanted to do. Would you please change my circumstances and make things happen that I want to happen? And while I was at the cabin, they had this book on the coffee table. It's one of those cool coffee table books, right? Called The Great Plains, America's Lingering Wild. And so I wasn't hearing anything from God, and I was getting frustrated. And so I picked up the book, and I'm looking through this photo book, and it's just all kinds of pictures. I'm sure you guys can't see it. You know how coffee table books are, right? Of incredibly beautiful scenes from right out here on the Great Plains of Texas. Because that was my main complaint, right? At the time, God, I don't want to live here. This isn't where I'm supposed to be. It's ugly here. The wind blows here. The dirt blows here, right? You had me living overseas for a long time. That's what I ought to be doing. I ought to have this cool international life, right, where I get to travel all the time and be in places where there's mountains and beaches and big cities that have all kinds of influence. But you have me out here in plain view, where the view is plain. And I'm reading through this book, and I start to get captivated by the images in this book because they're really beautiful. And the Lord starts speaking to me through these pictures and starts speaking to me and saying, look at the incredible beauty that's all around you. And then he led me to a scripture. I want to share that scripture to you guys because this scripture has absolutely changed my life. And this is how good God is to us when we listen to him. It's Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 22 through 23. I'm literally, I was looking at this book, looking at the pictures, and he sent me to this scripture, and this is the Message version, because that's what I read it in. It says this, God grabbed me by the shoulder and said, get up, go out on the plane, I want to talk with you. And it literally felt like that to me. Like, I literally said, okay, and I walked out the door of the cabin to get out on the plane to hear what God had to say with me. I said, I got up and I went out on the plane and I couldn't believe my eyes. The glory of God right there. And guys, in that moment, God communicated to me through the book, through speaking to me personally, what I felt like I was hearing in the spirit, that you are exactly where I want you to be. That if you would just open your eyes and look around you on these plains of West Texas, I am at work here. And I'm doing something incredible right here in Plainview, right here in the Great Plains of America. And I want you to be working here. And guys, I got it. Ever since then, I'm good. I like Plainview. I like living here. I like being a part of what God's doing right here. I chose to get happy and embrace the place that God had me. And it was years after that experience before I ever got to work at the church. I want you to know that. That was way before I was on staff here at church. It had nothing to do with that. It had to do with me listening to the voice of God and blooming where He had planted me. The third thing is this, don't worry about who gets the credit. So if you ever had a great idea at work, right, and you think up this brilliant thing and you shared it with your boss or maybe a coworker, and then they proceeded to take credit for your good idea? Anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, it's frustrating, I know. And I thought about sharing some personal stories, you know, about how that had happened to me, but that kind of defeat the purpose of what I'm talking about, you know. Because we all seem to want credit where credit is due, right? To be the hero of the story or the one who saved the company with our brilliance. You know, it didn't seem to bother anyone in this story from Acts that the apostles got to keep praying and preaching. It didn't seem to bother all of the other guys that Stephen was appointed as the team leader and they got to serve in the background behind him. We read lots of other stories in the Bible about apostles, Peter and James and John, and even Stephen's mentioned several other times in the Bible. But you know what? We never hear the name Procurus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas mentioned ever again in the Bible. That was the only time those guys got called out. You know, and here's the reality. I've met lots of Johns and Peters and Pauls in the world around us, right? But nobody names their kid Nicanor, right? You ever met any kid named that? You know? Those guys just kind of, their names drifted off into oblivion. We can't even pronounce them today. Sometimes, as we serve, there's not going to be a title, there's not going to be a position, there's not going to even necessarily be time for taking credit in what God's called us to do. But what really matters is this, were you faithful with serving while you had the time, while you had the chance? The church grew. The church experienced amazing signs and wonders because everybody was serving together. Everybody was doing their part to bring it all together. And God, I believe, can do amazing things with just a little bit of faith and a little bit of obedience. And besides that, all the credit really goes to the Holy Spirit because He's the one that empowers us to serve no matter our position. And so I want to ask you this question as we close today. Where are you in this story? Where are you at? Maybe you're on the outside looking in to the team. You look around this church or you look around your team at work or you look around where you're at in life and you see people doing amazing things. You see people walking in their gifting. You see people accomplishing awesome stuff and you wish that you had what it takes to be on that team, to be a part of what's going on. And I want to tell you this, church, guess what? You do. If you're on the outside looking in, you have an opportunity to be a part of what God is doing on this earth. He is calling each and every one of us to be a part of the team. And I want to challenge you, take a risk. Sign up for Team Harvest Day. There's a, in your bulletin on the back page, we're going to be having here in a couple of weeks, Team Harvest Day, and all of our ministry teams are going to be out in the foyer, and you're going to have an opportunity to see what all the different teams are in the church and to sign up and to volunteer and to be a part of what's going on around here. And I want to challenge you, take the initiative to do that. Take a chance, take a risk, because we need everybody, every part of the body doing their part to make this thing happen. Maybe you're this, maybe you're in the thick of it. You're serving your fingers to the bone and it doesn't feel like anybody's seeing what you're doing, or it doesn't feel like you're making a difference. Guess what? God sees what you're doing. Even if the people right around you don't see what's going on, the ministry that you're doing, God sees it. And God is honoring that. And God is supporting you in that. Trust God to use it for His glory rather than your glory. Don't give up. Keep going. Believe that what you're doing matters. Or maybe you're in this group, you're in the service zone. Like you're in the zone, right? You're just blowing it up. You're going for God and you're having a ball and a blast and just enjoying this thing to the hilt. And I want to say, awesome. Way to go. Keep it up. Keep going. Be sure that your joy rubs off on some people around you, right? Share that joy and let them have a part of it. Tell the stories about what God's up to in your life, what's going on, and be one of those people that everybody likes to be around, that's having fun building the kingdom. You see, Jesus said this, the greatest among you will be the servant of all. And so whether you feel insignificant today or fully part of the team, wherever you're at, there is a place for you. There's a place for you on God's team. There is a place for you here at Harvest. And God wants to empower you in that place to be successful and to make a difference. God may very well be doing something through your circumstance, right where you're at today, that's going to bring healing, salvation, and direction into somebody's life. Would you guys stand with me today? I hope that you'll think about this story in Acts chapter 6 and believe that all of us serving one another together, all of us doing our part, results in amazing ministry. That lives are changed forever. That people's families are brought back together. That lives are restored. That people get to encounter God for the very first time in this place because of what you do. Because of the handshake that you offered at the front door. Because of the golf cart that you drove, picking them up at their car. Because of the prayers that you prayed right up here at the front over people. Every bit of our service makes a difference in the kingdom of God. And I want to invite you guys to choose to live a life that's marked by serving others. It's your choice. It's your choice. You don't have to serve. Nobody's twisting your arm and forcing you to do anything. But God welcomes us into a place of significance, into making a difference in this life by serving other people. Would you guys pray with me? God, we thank you for the calling that you have on our lives. We thank you that we have an opportunity through serving others to make a difference, to actually change the outcomes that we see in life, to change the atmosphere around us, to change the realities that people find themselves in. That you ask each and every one of us, God, to be a part of what you're doing through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we thank you this morning, God, for offering that invitation. May we respond with faith and courage and joy and find a place to make a difference. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our altar team, you guys can go ahead and come up. Guys, these people are serving in their gifting this morning.